Recently, we had a presidential election in Russia, and Putin won more than 87% of the votes. We know that this conflict in Ukraine started in the first place to weaken Russia, especially Putin and his position in Russia. When you look at this conflict right now, has the West achieved its objectives?
No, Nima, just the opposite has happened. Russia is much stronger than the countries in Europe that have bowed to pressure from the United States to try to weaken Russia. They picked the wrong place to do this. The Russians gave fair warning that they would not tolerate NATO coming into Ukraine. They warned of that specifically in 2008, before NATO said that Ukraine would become a member of NATO. And ever since, of course, the coup in 2014, when we and other European allies overthrew the duly elected government of Ukraine and put in these puppets, eventually coming down to Zelensky. Well, that was something that was very clear to most of us, but not to most Americans. So the question is, do the Americans still support this kind of needless suffering by our soldiers? Oh, no, not yet, at least, okay, by Ukrainians. Now, conservative estimates are 400,000 Ukrainian troops killed. I mean, it's a whole half a generation of Ukrainian youth. One quarter has fled the country, the other quarter is hiding in basements lest they be pressed into service. So what's the proper attitude of by the people of the United States? Well, we have an expression: to kick the tires. Before you buy a used car, you go around and you do lots of stuff, but you kick the tires just to see if there's still air in them, to see if they're viable tires. You kick the tires when people say, "Oh, just another $60 billion. That'll do it. That'll do it. That'll change the whole course of things. And finally, we'll stop the Russians." That's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. The real problem here is that we have people like the French, my God, Macron, the president of France, is saying that, well, we're not excluding putting our troops on the ground in Ukraine. Nobody knows specifically what he is threatening to do, but we can't shut him up. That is, not even his German allies or his British allies can say, "Look, Emmanuel, knock it off. We're going to buy troops." And Macron is still saying, "Well, I might, it's an option." The real red flag went up in my mind 2 days ago when the head of the equivalent of the CIA in Russia, Naryshkin, warned, "Look, we know that there are plans that Macron is going to put 2,000 troops in Ukraine to free some Ukrainian soldiers to pursue the fight against Russia. That's really not going to be a good idea, okay?" Putin himself has talked about red lines. He's intimated that, look, that would be a red line. The troops of any NATO country in Ukraine would be a red line. What do I expect if the French go into Ukraine? They will be destroyed. They will easily be destroyed, since the Russians have the kind of omniscient air surveillance from satellites and from other aircraft and drones to know exactly where they are when they enter Ukraine and when they die. So what is Macron trying to do? It's really hard to figure out, but there must be some people, some real hardliners, some disciples of what's her name, Victoria Nuland, still in place in Washington, say, why don't you give this a try? You know, what's to lose? 2,000? Put them in there and see if Putin doesn't back down when NATO troops are in there. Now, there's no reason to believe that Putin will not authorize his armed forces to do in those French troops. So what happens then? Whoa, they're NATO troops. Well, yeah, but the NATO didn't approve this operation. Well, NATO's a strange animal. You have people in the Baltics, and you have the people in Poland and France, apparently, that would say, well, let's give it a try. In this connection, you have Putin also warning regularly, look, would you please remember that we have nuclear weapons? I mean, don't you understand that we have nuclear weapons? Well, that has been misinterpreted, in my view, as Putin threatening to use tactical nuclear weapons. As a matter of fact, who is it? Fareed Zakaria, just a week ago in the Washington Post, said this. Why is Putin repeatedly indicating that he'll use tactical nuclear weapons? Well, he hasn't. What he has simply said is, look, this is one step away from World War III, which by definition would be a nuclear war. So please realize this. Please don't forget that we have nuclear weapons. Russian strategy does not really give much attention to using tactical nuclear weapons in any case. I mean, they have them, they can use them, but they're thinking broadly, okay? They're thinking the final, World War III, one step away. Well, World War III is nuclear weapons. Now, one step away, where are we? Well, we're in a situation where the French go into Ukraine. Not only will those troops all meet their heavenly master much quicker than they want to, but there is a chance that Russia would retaliate directly against France. Okay. Oh, and that would be Russia attacking a NATO country. Nima, as strange as this is to believe, that's exactly what some people in Washington and some people elsewhere in Europe want. Yeah. They want a casus belli. They want to have a little war with Russia, not in the United States, but in Europe. Okay, so would Putin take that bait? I don't think so. He's got the capability to deal with whatever comes into Ukraine right now, and he's also got these, what do they call them, hypersonic missiles. Okay. When I was a boy, we had Mach 1. That was the speed of sound. That was these hypersonic missiles are quicker and more devastating than supersonic missiles, which were Mach 2, 3, 4, 5. These hypersonic missiles go 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times the speed of sound. Imagine it, okay? And they pack quite a punch, okay? In my view, if Putin wants to give Macron a bloody nose, he can easily fire one of these things without any nuclear warhead. Okay, some of them are nuclear capable, but he doesn't need that. He's got these precision things which cannot be defended against. Even Biden admitted that 2 years ago. There's no defense against these hypersonic missiles. That's why the U.S. is really trying to get them. They did a test yesterday. We don't have the results yet. But if it passes any precedent, they didn't succeed. So what am I saying here? I'm saying this would be a real provocation to Putin, who is riding very high now. Now, why is he riding high? Obviously, what he got in terms of 87-88% approval in the election, well, that's one measure. But the more important measure is how many people voted. My God, it was unprecedented. There was, I think, if memory serves, 76% of the Russian. Now, they voted in an election where Putin, everyone sort of recognized, was not only ahead, but, sort of a safe bet. So why'd they get off their couches and away from their televisions and in a cold March day go out and vote? Or days, there were 3 days. Well, because they wanted to show support for Putin. And they did. So in terms of the turnout, that's the big deal. That shows the Russians are squarely behind Putin. And frankly, admire the way he brought them through this economic crisis that the West tried to impose on Russia. Sanctions. Sanctions had no effect except among the sanctioners, okay? Except Germany and France and the other European countries, Poles and the Italians. Italians can't sell their apples. So, you know, it's just really strange that the Europeans were able to defer to Washington and say, oh, yeah, well, we say, yeah, sanctions might work, you know, and they hurt themselves. So where were you? Where are we now? We're at a point where the overwhelming reality happens to be the pre-election period in the United States. In my view, it's quixotic, but everything has been quixotic for the last 2 years in Ukraine. It's quixotic in the notion that we can't win, okay? In other words, the Ukrainians, no matter how much support they get from a NATO that turns out not to be as combat capable as we thought, they're not going to win. And as we said, you know, last week, Biden was deceived into saying Putin has already lost. And he said that in July of last year. So now the new estimate is, well, he hasn't already lost, and he might win unless we give him $60 billion more dollars. Wow. So where do we stand on that? Well, the press is still touting the possibility that Putin can be held off. $80 billion, that'll help. I mean, the Ukrainians depend on our money to pay their civil servants, to pay their army, to pay everything, okay? So that'll last a couple of months. And then if the Europeans, which I think there's a vote today in the EU as to whether they'll authorize $3 billion a year from the interest on Russian assets seized during the war. Oh, $3 billion plus $80 billion. Well, maybe they'll go for the whole $300 billion, all the assets, not just the interest on them. Okay, so you put all that money together and say, "Whoa, that should get us to November." Not why? Because there are no Ukrainian soldiers. There are no Ukrainians left to do battle. Even if these weapons get there on time, which is really problematical, my bet, and you can call me on this later, is that there's no way that that the West can avoid a very clear, ignominious, humiliating defeat before November, before the key date, before our elections. So what does that mean? Well, I'll just finish with this. I fear that this is an existential threat, not to the United States, but to the Democratic Party, to Joe Biden. Okay. Now, he can't afford to lose in Ukraine because most people would say ipso facto, he will lose the election. So what are his options? Why is he trying to get $80 billion more in there? Is it just to blame the Republicans if they refuse to give the $80 billion? In other words, does he want to be in a position to say, oh, we lost because the Republicans wouldn't give those $80 billion more? I don't know. I think he's more disconnected from reality. I think he thinks that he might still be able to stave off ignominious defeat. And what would that mean? I'll just say one more time that I don't trust his advisors one inch, okay? I don't rule out the fact that his advisors would say, look, Let's blame the Russians for threatening to use tactical nuclear weapons. Let's get that on the record. Let's tell Fareed Zakaria and lots of these other people who do what we tell them to say, what they tell them, what we tell them to say. And so the American people are prepared for maybe just a little mini nuke on our part to stave off humiliating defeat in Ukraine. Would that work? Well, I don't know. The point is that I wouldn't put it past these people to suggest that. Would the military stand up and say, this is not a good idea, Mr. President? Putin talks about one step away from World War III. This would be a half step closer, for God's sake. Don't do it. I don't know. The military has shown itself to be, well, I won't even use an adjective. They don't know much about tactics or strategy, and they don't have much backbone as far as I can see. So would this happen? I don't know. But in trying to figure out why Fareed Zakaria and the others would deliberately falsify what Putin is saying about tactical nuclear weapons, which is zero, it could be that they're preparing the American people for the use of nuclear weapons, blaming it on Russia, and trying in this desperate way to avoid a humiliating defeat in Ukraine. The other thing I'll say is that Germany is really a total surprise to me. For decades, I have been saying they should grow up. They should see their own needs first and not those of the Americans. And I've been disappointed at every turn, but no more disappointed than I am now. And the latest is some very earlier well-respected pundits, academics, suggesting that Germany needs to have some nuclear deterrent, okay? Participating with the French or other people, with the British, you know, they gotta have some nuclear deterrent to handle this Russian threat. And finally, this Russian threat is made out of whole cloth. It's synthetic. The Russian threat to attack the rest of Europe after Ukraine is the same as the weapons of mass destruction threat before the Iraq war. Most of your viewers will know there were no weapons of mass destruction, and there is absolutely no evidence that the Russians intend to go even take over all of Ukraine, much less go forward into Poland or the Baltic states. We've talked about that before. Yeah, this is it's foolish on its face, but it's worrisome because most people buy into that because that's what they see in the mainstream press. And Russiagate and everything else plays right into that. You have a devil with horns named Putin. He's just as bad as Hitler or even Satan himself. And when you're conditioned to believing that kind of stuff, and some of my friends, highly educated friends, are so conditioned, you'll sort of say, well, you do what you have to do, Mr. President. And that's really, really stupid. It's really, really dangerous. And I hope we can avoid that.
One of the things that usually people say about Ukraine, they say if Ukraine was able to keep those nuclear bombs, they were able to confront Russia. I want to know your take on this. It seems that those nukes were Russian, were not belong to Ukraine. This is the point that they're always missing when they're talking about those nukes.
That's correct. This is all rhetoric. Those are part of the Russian strategic setup. And for them to withdraw them very quickly made a lot of sense for not only the Russians, but for the Ukrainians. Ukrainians didn't have any independent capability to use them. They wouldn't really mark much of a deterrent at all. So, yeah, this is just the kind of rhetoric designed to say, well, you know, bad mistake. Why is it ever a bad mistake to take nuclear weapons out of a country? I don't understand that. You know, Dmitry Polyansky, the deputy head of the UN delegation in New York, Russian, of course. He made the point just 2 days ago when he said, look, you know, nuclear war can never be fought because no one can win a nuclear war. Let's get back to that basic thing. And let's, to the degree we can, talk about those things. You know, if that's the case, then why all this worrying about nuclear war? And once again, when they talk about, endlessly talk about Putin threatening nuclear war, well, he wasn't the first to do it. Who was the first to raise this issue? A fellow named Zelensky, before Russia did its special military operation. He said, we ought to get nuclear weapons again, we Ukrainians. And Russian ears lit up, and they said, well, you know, just remember, we already have nuclear weapons. And it's been raised, I'd say, you know, every 2 or 3 months since then. Why? Because there's no guarantee on the part of these Russian generals or Putin himself that Blinken and Sullivan and these other neophytes who never donned a military uniform, have no experience in war at all, much less nuclear war, that they don't remember. That's why Putin keeps saying, don't you understand? Don't you understand? One step away from World War III? Now, we're on record, that is we, veteran intelligence professionals for sanity, we write memos to the president as we did 30 years ago when we are on active duty, so to speak. And the key one that we wrote to Biden in late January of last year, so 2023, it ended up in a kind of special way. Yeah. We try to end up with a little punch here. And we said, look, if you're worried about, if you think the Russians aren't worried about what's in store for them, just realize that they know what Secretary Austin said, you know, publicly about 2 years ago, okay? And what he said was, one of the U.S. goals in Ukraine is not only to see a weakened Russia, but, quote, to move heaven and earth to help Ukraine win the war against Russia, period, end quote. Well, they haven't been, heaven and earth have not been cooperative here, okay? I don't know how Austin thought the U.S. could move heaven and earth, but maybe it's a symptom of the grandiosity of being the sole exceptional power in the world. What we said to Mr. Biden, and this is the end of January last year, 2023, can the U.S. achieve Austin's goal? Can it move heaven and earth to help Ukraine win the war against Russia? Only by using nuclear weapons. Only by World War III. Now, you say you don't want a World War III, Mr. President. But Austin must think that the U.S. can win a war against Russia and avoid World War III. That's not possible. Got that, Mr. President? That's not possible. And not only that, but it's a case where the Kremlin has to think that Lloyd Austin and the people who are really running things, Blinken and Sullivan, also believe that. Okay, so what are the implications of that? Really serious. And does the U.S. have the wherewithal to use tactical nuclear weapons or worse? Yes, they do. And, you know, I worked in government long enough to be able to tell everyone that there's a real difference between what analysts like I tell the president and what analysts in the military tell the president. The ones like me say, hey, Mr. President, we're not certain that this will come to a nuclear exchange. Analysts from the military side says, look, Mr. President, We don't care about intentions. We care about capabilities, okay? They have the capability to do us in. We have to be on high alert. And the situation right now, acknowledged by Putin himself, is that their strategic forces are indeed on high alert. We've come very close to accidental exchange of nuclear weapons, accidental things that indicated that nuclear war was likely, too many times in the past, and I have some personal experience in that, to be relaxed about this. And the worst thing, of course, is the U.S. and Russia are not talking. There's no real dialogue between even lower officials or even informal emissaries. There was all of that during the Cuban Missile Crisis. There's none of that now, and that makes it immeasurably more difficult. We need to persuade our lawmakers, and to the degree that Blinken and Sullivan and the others are educable at this point, we have to warn them that you can't have a win in Ukraine and avoid World War III. That's what it comes down to, okay? That's big. And what Putin is saying is, I'm not sure they understand that. You know, I'm not sure they understand that. And, you know, it's going to be, the next couple of months are going to be really, really delicate, because all this plays out against the background of the presidential election campaigns in the United States. Mm-hmm.